What makes up a mortgage payment? How does a mortgage rate lock work? We'll talk about these two important questions and a whole lot more on this week's Indy's Real Estate Gurus. Stay tuned.
Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmus NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Rick Rickma, your hard-working mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group. And today we're going to go over quite a bit as you talked about with mortgage payments and then also locking rates, which is awesome. But first, let's get into a little thing I like to call Rick's perspective on what's going on in the market.
Yeah, so, go ahead.
So what we've seen, let's start here. It's, the big numbers finally came out is on inflation. Let's start there. What do you think? How does this look?
Well, inflation year over year, it came in at 8.5%. It was 9.1%, so that's come down. We've all seen kind of why that's coming down. Energy prices are coming down. So some of the daily inflation pieces are getting better, which is the oil. Those things have come down. Core inflation is actually, it came down to 0.3, and that's at 5.9. So, you know, that's still very, very high. You have to understand these numbers. They want to be at 2% inflation year over year. We're at 8.5.
So quite a bit more.
Quite a bit more. And when I say they, I'm talking about the feds. The feds want to be at 2. That's what they came up with. They don't mind it going a little hotter, but they want to average 2. For years, it was 2%. Then they decided, well, we don't care about 2%. We care about averaging 2%. Well, they're averaging it, and then some, because we're at 8.5. And rents, now these are the things that that you don't necessarily – think about, but somebody who's renting, the rents have gone up last month 0.7%, year over year 6.3%. That is gigantic. Now that's actual rents, you know, when people are renting. There's something called the owner equivalent rents, or the OER, and that's up 0.6. So that's also up year over year. It's up 5.8. Now that's if you were going to rent your house, what would you rent it for?
Yeah, but we somewhat saw this coming. I mean, if people are paying more for houses. Well, guess what? Well, then if you can't afford a house or you don't want to buy a house, well, then they can charge more for rent. I mean, it's just those two are always going to be somewhat very similar, and they're also going to affect each other.
Absolutely. And we saw it coming for that reason, and also the same reason housing has been hot, which is that 33-year-olds, you know, the increase in the birth rate 33, 35 years ago is going to make, and not enough houses out there, not enough places to live, is going to make the prices go up. It's just how it's going to be. And so we knew it was going to. But along with that, so what did energy do? Energy, which is your, you know, oil, that went down 4.6%. That's pretty good. Year over year, it's still up. Okay, it went down 4.6%. A lot of people are celebrating that. It's still up 32.9%. Mm-hmm. It's pretty drastic.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you got to think. I mean, what was it? A couple of years, or roughly a year or so ago, we were paying 2.5, 3 for gas.
It was now, right around $2. Yeah. I think I even paid $1.99 or $1.80, yeah, something like that.
It was just over 5.
Yeah.
Finally, it's come down. I think I just filled up for $3.99.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you said the other day, you said, you know, it's you know, you would kind of celebrate now that it's down all the way down to $4. Yeah. Well, it's
still
we
hot.
Forgot that it was a 2, you know, only a year ago or so. So crazy. Gasoline is up down 7.7%, which we've all seen. That helps our pocketbooks, no question. But food is up,
yep,
month over month, 1.7%. It's up 10.9% year over year. And that gasoline, even though it's down 7.7%, it's actually up 44%. So year over year, gas is up 44%. Food is up 10.9%. Energy is up 32.9%. Rents are up 6.3%.
And
it's a celebration because we went from 9.1 to 8.5.
Yeah, and I would really love to see the food breakdown because, I mean, I know meats have jumped dramatically and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it's those foods that you probably don't buy that doesn't really increase too much. But it's but it's just interesting. I think the normal foods, like we talked about this, is I think I increased close to $50 a week extra.
Well, you know, and I wonder on that note, a lot of the packaged goods, they don't raise the price. They don't put as much product in.
Oh, that's true.
You know, I noticed some of the stuff I bought, all of a sudden there's two less items in it.
Well, and then ounces. They decrease the ounce of weight.
Absolutely. Yeah, but the cost doesn't change. So I don't even know. I'm sure that that's affected in here, but oh my. Now, you know, you and I are both into cars, and new cars are up even more than this, but the used cars – used cars month over month, they're down 0.4. They're still up 6.6% year over year.
Yeah, we're not going to see a big difference in that until I know they're working on U.S. starting to make those chips. But until you see that, I actually read an article recently, and it was funny, is there's actually a market out there to buy a new car, don't really drive it, and then turn around and resell it because people can't get them.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy. You know, and those chips, the feds just passed, or the Congress, Senate, whoever, passed a law. I don't know if it went through. I think it did.
I think it's still going through.
Okay. But the idea of this, the you know, increasing, putting money in towards chips, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to help. They're going to put an incentive. From what I understand, the manufacturers of the chips are going to actually cut production. They're going to take the money and cut production.
Hmm.
That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true, but that's what I heard. Anyway, that's one of the, you know, that's something that we have to look at. You know, along with that, I just want a couple other things. I want to talk about, you know, mortgage-backed security bonds, which is where mortgage rates come out of. For August, they've been lower from the start, from August 1st to today. The bonds are lower, but they went down, then they came up. They aren't that much lower. So for the week, we're pretty much unchanged. Minor changes, a little bit up, but we're almost back to even with the start of the month. What does that do for mortgage rates? When mortgage bonds go down, mortgage rates go up. And so since we're back pretty much where we were, mortgage rates are pretty much where they were at the start of the month. And mortgage rates are still pretty good. It's not that they're still pretty good. The consumer price index, you know, consumer price index came out. We talked about all those numbers. Those inflationary numbers, those are really going to, if they continue to come down, that's really going to help. That part of why they're coming down is gasoline, of course. But what the feds are doing will have an effect. By them raising the federal fund rate, it is going to lower inflation. And inflation is, with inflation coming down, it's going to help mortgage rates. So at some point, I believe we're going to see mortgage rates come down. I believe it's going to be late this year, early next year, and we're going to see the rates come down. So if you're buying a house right now, it's a good time to buy a house, but we can refinance it.
Yes.
In 6 months.
I think people forget that.
Yeah. So you buy it, and if the rates come down enough, we just refinance it. The key there is don't go and pay a bunch of points.
Yep. And then here's the other thing is because people are like, well, I got to pay closing costs twice. Well, it depends on what the rate changes. Sometimes we're able to help out with that too. So keep that definitely in mind.
Exactly. It's all about looking at it. And that can be really valuable. If you believe rates are going to come down, it can be very valuable to take a little higher rate where we can give that lender credit, where we can help out and pay some, if not all, of the costs. So you're into it for nothing. And then 6 months, 8 months later, we refinance it.
Yep.
I can show people, we can show people that you're way money ahead, right?
Yeah.
Let's get on with, what we really want to talk about today. What makes up a mortgage payment and how does a mortgage rate lock work? And I think that's going to be a really important one. But let's start with the mortgage payment.
Okay. So I'll start this up. So let's just say on an average customer, so not any weird stuff or anything like that, what is fully in a mortgage payment when I look at my little statement?
Your principal payment. Okay, that's what you're paying that's going to pay down your mortgage. Your interest. The interest is kind of the cost of the loan. That's what you're paying every month to have that have that mortgage.
And that is mostly known as P&I.
Yes, P&I, principal and interest. Yep. And then you have your escrows, which is property taxes, and your homeowner's insurance. You may have mortgage insurance in there. And then you could have, if you have flood insurance, something like that, that can be in there also. Now, your escrows, with the exception of flood, if you have enough down, usually that's 20% down or more, you can opt out of escrowing for taxes and insurance. The vast majority of people escrow. It's easier. It doesn't cost anything. And years and years ago, they changed the law because servicers were messing with the escrows. Now there's no benefit and there's huge penalties for messing with the escrows. You can't earn any interest on it, so there's no benefit in doing anything with it. I have not seen in 15, 18 years any problems with escrows. Nobody, as far as in messing with it. Now, taxes go up, insurance goes up, so you can be short. Or if you bought a new home, taxes are definitely going to go up. You know, there can be things that happen that are going to change it. The thing is with a payment, though, your principal and interest payment, if you're on a fixed rate mortgage, your principal and interest payment doesn't change.
And yes, and I think
taxes
that,
and insurance can.
Yep, and I think especially first time home buyers, and this hit me, and I'm not gonna lie, is when I first bought my home, I'm like, all right, my payment is this. Oh, for easy for 30 years, cause I did 30 years, but we plan on paying ours off early. But I was like, oh, I can easily do that. So next year comes around and they're like, I get my statement booklet says, oh, well, it went up like $20. I'm like, wait, what? And I did not understand that. So I called my mortgage guy at the time and he went through it with me and it was like, oh, well, I guess that does make sense. But because my property value went up. So guess what? The taxes went up. I didn't have anything in luckily my insurance stayed the same or like that. But let's say you got hail damage and you claim something. Well, if they up your insurance, guess what? Your escrow is going to go up. And I think that's some things new home buyers don't understand, or it catches them off guard later.
Yeah, I will say a lot of them don't, because I get a lot of calls, mainly because you don't remember, you know, it's a year later, year and a half later when it happens. You don't remember what we talked about when you bought the house. You know, you don't remember all the information. Plus, I find people, because they shop, they get confused what both people say, you know, what multiple lenders told them. But the reality is it only goes up. It goes up with any lender that you're with if it's your taxes or homeowner's insurance. That's what happens, and that it's just how it's going to be.
And right before the break, that is what we saw last year with the huge increase. We've gotten countless calls. Why did my payment jump so much? Well, because your property, your house improved so much.
Right.
And once you explain that to them, you're like, hey, the average house increased 19%. You're like, oh, well, I got 19% extra in my house? Well, then it sits a little bit better in the belly. But
yeah, and you know what? After the break, we should go over the difference between appreciation, which is what we see, or I'm sorry, appraisal.
Yes.
Which is what we do, and what the county does when they assess the property.
Yes.
So we can talk real briefly about that after the break.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Back to Indy's Real Estate Gurus. I'm Rick Rittma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold.
And if you would like to contact the NRI, you can do that by going online to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. From there, you can just send us a message. You can get all of our contact information, phone numbers, email address, and you can get a hold of us. You know, please feel free to do that. We'd love to talk with you. And with that, I think we're on to
the question of the week.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
The question of the week is brought to you by Renovation Loan. If helping you buy a home, that may need some work. So if it needs a new kitchen or needs new floors or even a new roof, we can help you with that and get everything together at once so you don't have to come out of pocket after you buy a home.
Right. It can be a really big blessing for people. Yes. It's our Fix-It Mortgage, which is a part of our company. That's what they do. They're very good at it. But do understand that when you got to get bids and all that. So it takes a little bit more work. But if you're going to do the work anyway, you got to get all those things anyway. Yep. So it's not like it.
And everything's done by professionals. And
right.
That's what really matters.
Right. And that makes a huge difference.
All right. So the question last week is, I give milk and I have a horn, but I am not a cow. What am I? A milk truck. Like I said last week, if you're the older generation, you understand that. Younger generation, what's a milk truck?
Yeah. You know, I remember milk trucks, but the other part I think is kind of interesting is now my generation, they'll find them and redo them and make them real cool. There was one out at the Mecum auction a few years ago that they did out in Vegas. What do they call that show? Counting Cars did it.
Oh, okay.
And it counts customs. Man, it was a cool, cool truck. I didn't buy it, so it's not wasn't that cool.
Hey, now my generation, I will tell you this. We at least have groceries and food prep all delivered to us. We don't do milk, but we do everything else. Even meats are shipped.
Yeah, but there's no consistency in the delivery vehicle.
No, there is not. All right, so this week is, why did the fly never land on a computer? Okay, Rick. So I know we'll talk about this a little bit. We'll finish up on mortgage payments and everything. And we were talking about the appraisals.
Yeah. I just thought it'd be helpful to talk about the difference between an appraisal, which is what we do to get value, and when the tax authority, the county, they're going to assess the property. And it is a different, it's not the same thing. So you might see an assessment, which many times is considerably lower than the actual value or appraisal. It's so funny because nobody wants the assessment to be high and everybody wants the appraisal to be high. So it's kind of a, you know, but if for some reason in this market it's not happening, but in a market where it's the opposite of what we're seeing, I actually had people would take the appraisal to the county assessor's office and say, hey, here's, You appraise my house. You assess my house at 400. The appraiser says it's only worth 350. They would lower it at that point. But I have not had anybody say, hey, you assess my property at 400. My appraisal says it's worth 6. I want it at 600.
That's like walking into a store and be like, oh, the price says 200. You walk up to the restaurant and it rings up for 100. Guess what? Huh, here's 100. Have a nice day.
You know what? I want to pay 300 for that. I thought it was worth more. Yeah, that doesn't happen, does it?
No.
But that is the difference. And so people just have to understand that's the difference between an appraisal and an assessment, and that they are not the same and the numbers aren't the same. But let's move on.
So let's talk about locking. So I know that when you're first looking at getting a home, everybody talks about locking rates. So what does it mean by to lock a rate? Let's start there.
Okay. And this is, I think, it's one of those things that most people don't really understand. When you lock a rate, let's say I have a customer and we've gone through everything. They bought a house. They're going to close it in 30 days. They have the option of either floating the rate or locking the rate. Floating the rate means that if the rates go down, you can get a lower rate if the market goes down. But if the market goes up, you get a higher rate. You're playing that. You're gambling a little bit. All right. If you believe rates are going to go down and you have some time and you believe it's going to go down, that might be the right call. I find most people are more conservative than that. And most people just want to know what it's going to be and they lock it in. And when you lock the rate, that means we go to wherever that money is coming from, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, FHA, USDA, VA, whoever that money's coming from. And we say, we want to lock this rate at this. Okay, behind the scenes, it's called par or whatever that number is. So we lock that rate, and that means that the market will not change your rate. If rates go up, your rate will stay the same. If rates go down, your rate's going to stay the same. It doesn't change.
on average, how long can you lock a rate?
I wouldn't say there's an average. We can, you can lock a rate very easily. Well, you can lock a rate for as long as 180 days. It just costs. Mm-hmm. A long-term lock costs more money. Then you have to look and see if that's worth it. Normally, we're locking for 30, 45, or 60 days. But 90 days, 120 days, 180 days, I think we can even lock longer now. I've just never had anybody do that. The only reason you do that is if you're buying a new construction. And a lot, like right now, if somebody said, hey, I want to lock for 180 days, I would advise against it because I believe rates are coming down. But it's not up to me.
Yep.
Okay, I can give advice and I can tell them what I think, but ultimately it's up to the customer. We will do what they want us to do. We can explain it, explain the market, but it's they have to understand their situation and they make that decision.
Yep. That's the nice thing is we will educate you through the whole thing and give you the best information for you to go, all right, what I think I should or should not. And that's what we try to do is with the more information we can give you, the better informed you are.
Yeah, and you know, I think the issue when you're locking for most people is that if rates go down, you're disappointed you didn't get the better rate.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Even the odds of it making a huge, huge difference, it's not really going to, unless something drastic and it were to drop a percent, I mean, it's not going to be a huge monthly change. I mean, worst case is what I've had some customers like, oh, it changed. Well, here, let me mathematically, and I showed them, look, if you just add $20 extra to your payment, guess what? You just made, oh, really? Yeah. And I go, what I would actually recommend is you do 100 to 200 extra.
Right.
But I'm just showing you that little bit, it doesn't really amount to much.
What you're saying is something that I think we all forget about, and that is, people think that an eighth of a eight or a quarter in the rate can make is like, oh my gosh, I can't afford it anymore. It isn't.
No.
In fact, if for most loans, not all loans, but if you have a $200,000 loan, and the rate goes down a quarter, it's probably not worth refinancing.
No.
Right? It's probably not. Now, if you have a $600,000 loan, a quarter could be worth refinancing. So that makes a little bit more difference. But what the other part of that is, people are disappointed when the rate goes down. They're devastated if they float and the rate goes up.
Well, it's always that way.
Yeah. So the risk factor to me is I err on the side of locking the rate. That's what I tend to err on because I've seen the reaction of people and I see what happens. And especially on somebody who, if it goes up, they don't qualify anymore, they need to lock the rate. But it is up to them. They have to make that decision. And as you said, we will give them the advice and the knowledge so that they can make that decision.
Okay. So you briefly touched on it when we were talking about locking and par and all that. So mortgage points. So one, let's get into what is it? And then should a customer look at doing it or should they stay away?
Well, points... If rates are going up and you believe they're going to go up and they're going to continue to go up and they're going to stay up for a while, points can make a lot of sense. And you're going to be in the house a while. It's all mathematics with points. But let's talk about exactly what a point is. 1 point is 1% of the loan amount. So a $100,000 loan, a point is $1,000. Now, one of the misnomers for a lot of people is a point doesn't buy your rate down 1%. They are two different things. A point could lower your rate an eighth, could lower your rate a quarter. Right now, I was just working with somebody yesterday, and it actually lowered the rate. It wasn't even a full point. It lowered, I think it was 0.75 points, and it lowered the rate over, it was 0.625. It lowered the rate that much. Now, that's a great deal if you don't believe rates are going down. But even after 6 months, if they refinance, I think it was in 9 months, they still save money by not paying the point. So you really have to look at what is my payback on that, and then what is my belief on what is the market going to do on whether a point makes sense. And when we talk about a point, but it could be sometimes you'll get it. You'll get it, and you can get an eighth lower rate for 0.125, which likely will make a lot of sense. And again, that's because par was an eighth higher rate. And because of the way the market is for 0.125, you can get that rate. I'm not saying it happens on everybody. It doesn't happen even that often, but it does happen. We look at that and we make sure. Where I was at before, they took all that away. We couldn't even look at it. We didn't know. And so they acted like they had this great deal, but they kept everybody in the dark. I don't like being in the dark. That's what I like. We see everything, and we can explain it to our customer where they really truly understand, and they can make the best decision for them.
Yeah, and that's what we try to do for everybody, to make it nice, easy, and like we've said many times, educate you, because like an informed person is a smart person.
I agree 100%.
So here's the other really nice thing that's happening here next week, and then in a couple weeks. Well, in a couple of weeks, we're going to do our how do you purchase a car in today's market, which is phenomenal. We'll go through new cars and used cars. And this is coming from two guys from the car industry. So you want to talk about the inside? We know it. So that will be going on through Labor Day, on Labor Day weekend.
Let me clarify that. We used to be in the car business.
Oh, yes, yes.
I've been in the car business. Yeah, you have. You were you were in it recently. I wasn't. And I know that some things changed, but the basics, I haven't really changed all that much. There's a lot of similarities. Now, next week, we have Jeremy Page. And Jeremy, I've worked with Jeremy a tremendous amount. He's a real estate agent. He's the assistant manager of the Zionsville, Indiana Carpenters Realtors office, right there in downtown Zionsville. The man knows real estate. He knows our real estate in Indiana. He graduated from Cedar something, the university in Ohio. Just a wealth.
He graduated from Ohio, in Ohio.
Not Ohio State though.
Oh, okay.
And listen, I don't mind. I don't have those sports things, so I don't care. Great guy, knows his stuff. Really is going to be able to talk about the market from a real estate agent's perspective. If you want to know more about our market, what's going on, that's a great show to listen to. That's next week. But we are out of time. We do appreciate you listening to us. And I'm Rick Ripma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold. And reminder, catch us on our podcast at Indy's Real Estate Gurus.
Yep. And hardworkingmortgageguys.com. You can contact us from there. Have a great weekend.